Hey, happy podcast. Hey,
are we all
recording?
Okay. I'm officially recoring.
Oh, you didn't get that?
Happy podcast.
I'm just so goddamn happy.
You actually put it in the show notes.
What did you think I was going to do when I said I'm going to put it in the show notes? What did you think was going to happen?
I thought you were pulling a bit, I thought you were pulling a different bit. And roll intro music.
This is Idle Curiosities, a search-driven podcast by Noel Midnight and Liz Mulholland. Each week, we look at what we've been searching the internet for, and then talk about twee indie pop from the 2000s. Today's special guest is Emma Celeste. Music by Yuri Beats. Today's a great day. It's a wonderful day. I've been really high energy all day. I've been really happy. Today's been going really well for me. And then there was the massacre of children at a school.
Happy Tuesday.
Are we starting like...
Yes, we're starting. Emma, we are starting. This is the show.
Okay.
Yeah, we're starting by talking about the giant fucking elephant in the room, which is that children are just massacred in a school because we don't have fucking gun control laws, because we're fucking scared of doing anything when we have power, because it would mean that we can't ask for more money when we don't have power. God fucking damn it.
Also, we have a guest.
Hi!
Fine. We have a guest. Emma, introduce yourself.
I mean, is there really something to introduce? I'm a person. I do person things.
For fuck's sake, tell people anything about you. Tell them something about
your name,
character,
even.
About something that you love.
Okay,
your name.
I'm Emma. I am a musician, and I guess I work in tech now.
Okay, so as I was saying, it's a great day. I've got great energy. I'm super high energy. I am ready to go. Ricky Gervais has a new transphobic special out on Netflix.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Have you people read any of the transcripts of that? Because it is
I hear it's just really bad.
Yeah, I also want to register a complaint here that he's stealing my look. The black V-neck t-shirt and jeans is my thing. Fuck you. You can't have it.
I really, really don't think that you get to claim on a look that is that fucking generic.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it though. When it's Ricky Gervais, I'm gonna fucking do it.
Well, I mean,
okay,
it's valid.
If you want to associate your image with Ricky Gervais, that's fine.
No. It's the other way around. Ricky Gervais is like the one who's doing the theft here.
He's the one who sucks.
Okay.
Office space.
How do
anyone?
I stop my iPad from locking itself constantly?
What's phosphor slime? Emma.
What?
What's phosphor slime?
Oh my god, we're starting already? Okay.
Yeah, no one does that.
Yes, God fucking damn it! God damn it! Yes, we're starting!
Yeah, he just does okay.
This. So, phosphor slime. Have you heard of a game called Slime Hunter? Or Slime Rancher?
Yes.
Huh?
I'm aware of it. Do you want to give like the TLDR?
Slime Rancher, it's basically you're on a different planet that kind of looks like a cell, like a more like child-friendly version of Borderlands.
I don't know why that comes to be so funny to me, but...
I don't know a better way to describe it, but you're like on another planet and this planet is full of slimes. And you're supposed to, like, capture these slimes and ranch them. Like, you're a rancher, and, like, you get slimes, you feed them. It's a really pleasant indie game, and a phosphor slime is just... I just needed to look up what kind of food they ate to just give me the plorts that I need to make money. It's just a fun game.
Sure.
That's why it's a feeling
do you
lucky.
Feed them
I just needed...
What's going on there?
They're slimes, not NFTs. God.
Did you see
I'm not ridiculous.
Did you see that Seth Green lost his NFTs, and as such, he also lost the like the
ability to make a TV show out of it.
I'm not entirely convinced that this isn't part of the plot of the show. Like, I could totally see this being a thing in the show where, like, oh, I lost my NFT. We can't do the show now.
Oh, he's Nathan for you and us.
I'm not putting money on it, mostly because I'm not a betting woman. But it really wouldn't surprise me if that's what's going on here.
Liz, I know why you googled this, but you can tell.
I think someone just knocked on my door. Hang on.
Oh. After these messages, we'll be right back.
You've heard the show. Now, get ready for the Idle Curiosities home experience. Just head over to your nearest browser-equipped electronic device and navigate to google.com to start your own searching. Once you've populated your history with some spicy terms, hand your phone to a friend and let them ask you about why you're so fucking broken, you little shit. Nothing can go wrong. Well, midnight, let's look along at the Idle Curiosities team. Are not liable for any embarrassment or shame that I stump from you sharing a searching group with your friends.
I swear to God, if Liz comes back holding a pizza.
I mean, it's...
Well, there was no one there, so it was just a random sound in the hallway. Sorry.
You're cool. Good. I had somebody full on open my door and start to walk in with their bike.
Oh no. Don't lock your door.
Apparently, I don't lock it 100% of the time because this person just like full on started to walk in and I shouted out hello and they go, oh shit. And then they quickly like turn around and leave.
I mean, I'm not saying I've never forgotten to lock the door. However, it does seem, you know, I worry about it.
Yeah, I worry about me too sometimes.
Especially when you put your address in the fucking show notes and then admit in the same episode that your door is left unlocked.
You have to be a patron.
Which you can find if you check the Discord link in our show notes, or you can join the Patreon at patreon.com/idlecuriosities for $2 a month.
There you go. So, Liz, while we're talking about music, I know why you Googled this one, mm-hmm. but maybe you could tell Emma and our listening audience why you Googled Decemberist's song Exploder.
Because you told me that you'd listen to a Song Exploder episode about a Decemberist song. And I didn't know they'd done one, and then I intentionally Googled it so we could talk about the Decemberists on the show.
Yeah.
So, tell me about it. What song did they do? What'd you think?
So, they did the song Once in My Life, which... I'll give some clarity here first. The Decemberists did the song Once in My Life on Song Exploder. It was back in 2018 when that song was still new and relevant.
Yep, that was their second most recent album, if I recall correctly.
So, for some context, I don't particularly like the Decemberists. There's something about Colin Molloy's voice that rubs me the wrong way. However...
Oh, I wish I could remember, because a friend of mine said something about Colin Molloy's voice, and I've not been able to think of him the same way since, but now I can't remember what it is, and I like the Decemberists. Anyway, carry on.
They did this song for Song Exploder, and they break it down, and they go through... like, the whole big process of finding the specific sound for this song.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, I think I like everything about the Decemberists except for Colin Molloy's voice.
That's fair. Honestly, okay. That's fair.
And so I'm sitting here going, should I try and push through this? Should I try and, like, become a Decemberists person?
Or at least a casual fan, you know.
Or at least a casual fan. And I haven't really decided where I land on this yet. I don't know what I'm going to end up doing. But I will say I really liked the song Once in My Life. And I think that most people who are listening to the show would also like that song. Because it is fun and it sounds like a carnival.
Yeah, and although that is the thing. To me, it sounds the least like that album, What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World, sounds the least Decemberist-y of any album they've done.
This is I'll Be Your Girl.
Oh, no. What the fuck? Do I have them in the wrong order? I have them in the wrong order. Anyway. I don't know. Listen, not that I don't like it. I like that album. But to me, it's not as Decemberist-y as other albums are. So I feel like if there's something you like there, I don't know if it's going to be there. Or I don't know if it's going to get too... twee for you.
And see, I liked that this had just, like, a lot of layers of different instruments, and, like, they built it up into this giant soundscape.
Oh, yeah, that you get. Not, that you get.
That you get? Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for.
And yet you refuse to listen to Coheed for so long.
For fuck's sake.
I was,
is that what this is? Is this the Roast Noel hour? Is that what's happening?
I thought that was every hour.
Yeah, that's, isn't that the point of the podcast?
I don't fucking know what the point of the podcast is. The point of the podcast has changed so many times over the years.
No, sometimes the point is to roast Liz. We've been over this.
Gotcha,
hey,
gotcha.
By the way, this is episode 50. Congratulations, everybody. We made it to episode 50. Woo!
55.
Woo!
55.
That's what I said. Fuck.
You well, said it, 50.
It might be the 50th one published.
No, it's 55. I was making a big hubbub about nothing because in my mind I had thought it was 50, but now I remember that we celebrated 50 a few weeks back.
Yeah, by doing a perfectly normal episode and not mentioning it at all.
Yeah, is that not what everyone would do in such a case?
No, it's totally 100%. Exactly what I would have done, which is exactly what we did. So you know.
So Liz, did you listen to the Song Exploder episode?
No, I haven't yet. I've been.
Oh, okay.
No, it's. I haven't listened to that many Song Exploders, to be honest, and I don't know why, because it is extremely my shit. I just haven't been able to make space in my head for it.
See,
yeah, that's fair. That's
for
fair.
Me, they only capture me if I already know the song. Like, see, I think the only Song Explorer that I listened to more than 5 minutes of was the Billie Eilish Everything I Wanted one, which is a phenomenal episode. But, like, I like a song that I know being deconstructed. When it's a song that I don't know, it's sure. Like, eh.
I listened to, fuck. Let me see if I can figure it out.
Did you happen to listen to Grizzly Bear Childish Gambino?
I will get there. I will get to that.
The only time I'm going to try to do a transition this entire episode, and it just gets...
I know. I'm really bad about that. I will just throw...
You're bad about catching them is the thing. You're really good at throwing them, and you're bad at catching them.
Yeah, I am. I'm very bad at catching them. Emma, I actually recommended a reference to you.
A Song Exploder?
Yeah, because I was listening to a Song Exploder, and it hit me that I wanted the drums to reflect the song that they were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was that Liz Phair song? No.
Let me see.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's somewhere.
But anyway, I really like listening to Song Exploders that are for songs that I don't know.
Mm.
Because it gives me an in to actually care about the songs. So, like... I will care about a song that I know nothing about if I can see the bones of how it was constructed. Whereas, like, if you just link me Nico Case's Last Lion of Albion, I will never listen to it. I'm sorry, I just won't. You can send me the link and tell me it's a great song and I'll never listen to it. But if I come across it on Song Exploder and I get to hear her break down how it got built up into being what it is, then all of a sudden I'll listen to it and I'll be excited because there's something for me to pay attention to and to catch hold of that's actually interesting to my brain. And so, like, I need that extra layer of intrigue for my brain to latch onto.
Mm.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just a song. And, like, I like songs. Songs are good. But there are so many songs that it's hard
yes,
to talk about
any. There's very yeah. many songs.
Anyway, what was the query you asked me about?
A song.
Oh, Grizzly Bear, Childish Gambino.
Speaking of how many songs there are.
God damn. Okay, so I was standing at a restaurant waiting for my order, and I heard over the radio the piano notes that open up 2 Weeks by Grizzly Bear. Do you all know that song?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yep.
So it's like this indie, like, Liz, help me explain what this song is. It's like this, like, really twee indie pop hit from, what, 2010 earlier?
Yeah, it was when I was in high school, as far as I remember.
Yeah, it's just one of those indie pop songs that you hear it and you're like, ah, yes, it's one of these.
Yeah, my, the sound of my people.
And it is a song that I know entirely because Childish Gambino did a freestyle rap over it.
Oh, right. I forgot about this. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, on I Am Not a Rapper, he did... He rapped over that Grizzly Bear track, and every time I hear it now, I keep waiting to hear, I do not talk, I am just a rapper. Like, that very specific. And I'm always disappointed when that doesn't come in. And I know that will never be playing over the radio at a Thai fusion place. Like, I know that's...
I don't know. It might. You never know.
It's Seattle.
It's not implausible.
No Will Smith went off without a hitch, man. I'll always be childish. Call me Maggie Simpson.
Doesn't he literally say, I'm rapping over Grizzly Bear, what the fuck, at some point?
He does. The start out verse 2, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought
I'm a try to make my street cred stack up. I mean, I'm rapping over Grizzly Bear. What the fuck?
That's the one.
There's so much lack of flow here.
I adore Gambino's early punchline rap days, and I really wish he could go back to that. I know why he can't, but I really, really wish he could.
That was anyway.
That's all I have on that one. I told you it was a feeling lucky.
Yeah. No, I forgot about that entirely, though. That was fun. I gotta listen. I'm gonna have to listen to that later.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to Gambino.
Those EPs really, really hold up. I mean, there's a lot of problems with them.
Really? Really? I'm
you
shocked.
Don't say.
he doesn't exactly show maturity. But or then empathy. He does have lines like "bitch sitting shotgun in my Tracy Chapman."
Oh, delightful!
Which, come on,
delightful!
Come on, delightful! I love that you have that much faith in your audience.
Yeah, yeah.
That
I mean, at that time, he didn't have an audience.
That's fair. That does help.
It helps when you know, like, the three people who are listening to you have the same taste as you.
Is that why I'm like this on this show?
Possibly.
Yes. Oh, okay. So, Emma, tell me about Public Storage.
Okay, so this was... I looked this up for the dumbest reason.
Oh. Did you really just Google Public Storage?
Okay,
because that seems way too broad to be a useful term.
I was driving home, and I saw a place called Public Storage, and I decided I want to look it up because Public Storage, I see them everywhere, and I'm just like, what even is this? I was curious about not like looking for a place to keep my stuff. I was curious about the company, and it turns out it's one of the biggest real estate holding companies in the nation.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
The entire idea behind it, like the fact that they're running a storage company is secondary to the fact that they are one of the biggest real estate holding companies in the fucking nation.
Yeah, and
so they're pulling a Family Video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, or a McDonald's TBH. I'm pretty sure the place that I'm going to keep my stuff in Seattle is a Public Storage. I know there's a huge, location that they have on the waterfront, like, along where the viaduct used to be. But, I was just like, how does this company looks completely unassuming in every sense of the way? How do they have these massive buildings in the middle of, ridiculously expensive cities? Because there's huge buildings in the middle of LA, there's huge buildings in the middle of Seattle, because it turns out their business isn't storage, their business is real estate, but we might as well make a few bucks off people in the meantime.
That's the most American thing you can do is actually be making most of your money off a thing besides what you claim your main business is.
And so if you want to know the way my brain works, I see a random building and I decide to look into what the business model is instead of what rates are or whatever.
I have a complaint about a local U-Haul storage thing. It's up in Somerville, and like they bought this old I believe it's an old textile mill, because most old brick buildings in this area are old textile mills or old factories. Mm-hmm. And like they built this, it still looks, it's a lovely, you know, like 5-story brick building, all that jazz. And it's just a U-Haul storage place. And it just feels like such a waste of, you know, what could be a really fantastic building, a really nice set of apartments or whatever. It's just a fucking storage building.
Well, like that's
Liz, you gotta get out here to Seattle, because we don't have any of those beautiful old buildings. They just don't exist out here. We weren't out here yet to build them.
Right, because by the time people were building Seattle, we'd moved past brick. Right.
Right, we were already on the shitty sheetrock.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually going to counter that, because the building, the public storage in Seattle that I was thinking of, is a ridiculously ugly building along the waterfront, but the neighborhood is Pioneer Square, where there are actually beautiful old buildings left, and also this completely boring concrete box.
Yeah,
just meant to hold people's shit.
Aren't old buildings full of people's shit when we get down to it?
I mean, it just depends on how unapologetic you are about it.
Sure.
Fair.
Sure, sure.
Like unapologetically looking up Whisk Electric Drill.
Okay, so...
Oh, I want to know what's going on.
I really want to know what's going on here.
I Googled Whisk Electric Drill because I had a thought.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Do either of you know where this is going?
I think yes. I do.
Because I tweeted...
But also no.
I think I tweeted last night. I have learned how to make whipped cream in less time than it takes for my kettle to heat up.
Oh my god.
Oh, hell. Is this... Oh, they're related, aren't they?
Oh, god.
What I did...
Flying everywhere.
At first, I was Googling to see if maybe there was, a whisk drill bit that somebody had, cocked up and,
I'm
fucked up and
together. I'm pretty sure Alton Brown has done this.
But then I realized I can just put my mini whisk right into my drill. I don't need a special bit. I have a mini whisk that fits. So I just shoved that fucker in there, cinched it up tight.
Okay, but what kind of drill?
It's just a Black & Decker, battery-powered drill.
Yeah, that's fine. And sorry, I have opinions there, about drills.
And in about a minute, I can make whipped cream
from nothing. I suppose I can't say anything here because the aforementioned immersion blender did come with a whisk attachment. I'm picturing you standing in your kitchen with your cordless drill with the most maniacal grin on your face.
Here it comes.
Oh no. What? Are we about to have a demonstration?
Yes.
Oh dear.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's still
it's
out.
Still attached. It's still attached.
Oh, no. Oh my god. Yeah, exactly like that. Exactly like that.
That's a very small whisk.
Yeah, that's that's the kind of
I can't believe it's still attached.
Expected. It does. See, also, I would have used a larger whisk because it looks comical.
This is the only size whisk I had.
I feel what?
Really?
Yeah, I have
the only size whisk you have is impractically small.
It's not impractically small. It's perfect for making aiolis and small sauces.
I. Whatever you say, Noel.
Hi, my name is Noel Midnight, and I'm a podcaster.
Oh my god.
Oh god. Liz, is it watermelon season?
Not in New England, it isn't, but it will be soon. I have completely lost my sense of time and or when things are supposed to happen. And I was sitting here thinking, because normally I'm not this much of a person who cares about when a given crop is in season or not, because, you know, because we live in a capitalist hellscape where every whim is catered to, and you can buy fucking watermelons in January if you want to, if you're insane.
Hi.
And I don't know why it's watermelon that I am this particular about, but I don't buy watermelon until it's in season. And when I lived in Florida, watermelon season starts in early May. Sometimes even late April, depending on the weather and stuff. Around here, not so much, although we do start to get, like, you know, pretty fresh watermelons from Florida by now. But I'm still holding out a little bit. Yeah, no, it is not yet watermelon season, but watermelon season is soon. And it is one of the things that makes me happy about the, well, I mean, I enjoy seasonal changes in general. It's one of the reasons I didn't like living in Florida, because we didn't really have noticeable season shifts that much. It was just more or less humid. But to me, you know, like, Memorial Day weekend is when you start seeing fresh watermelons show up. And it's sort of, it's just one of those things that says, hey, summer's coming soon, and you're going to get to enjoy some really nice watermelon all summer long. And that's one of my favorite things. It is I was just
at the QFC like 2 hours ago, and I almost bought a watermelon. And the only thing that stopped me was the thought of, oh, I'm going to have to carry this under my arm like a giant ass football all the way home. And I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, that's understandable.
So I don't have watermelon.
The other thing
now
that I'm somewhat particular about is strawberries. We are getting very close to strawberry season as well, and I think it's my favorite kind of fruit, strawberry.
It's definitely my favorite kind of weed. No, that's not true.
Strawberry?
That's not true.
Is it?
Strawberries are a weed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
I thought you were doing a weed strain.
Strawberries
reference
are a weed. Oh, no. I am talking about the fact that once you plant strawberries, you will never get rid of strawberries.
Yeah, that's They will. They spread.
But
very easily.
They aren't my favorite weed. They aren't my favorite weed. My favorite weed is definitely mint.
Ah.
Okay.
Mint is very good. Mint is more all purpose than strawberries are.
That's true. Yeah. But that said, I've really been wanting strawberries because, like I said, I've got all this whipped cream.
Right. Yeah.
And you want berries to go with your cream.
Exactly.
I just sat here at my desk last night and I ate a small bowl of whipped cream, just like with a spoon.
You're so proud of yourself.
You're starting. This is. Here's the thing. You're in very clear danger of becoming like a weird English toff with your dessert.
I'm
habits.
Entering my little Lord Fauntleroy phase.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm just thinking what like household object is going to be repurposed for weird kitchen uses at other points in time.
for those not watching this audio only podcast, I did just pull out a magic wand sex toy.
Why is that at your desk?
Where else would it be?
The bedroom?
Okay, do I have a 32-inch curved monitor in my bedroom? No.
I thought that's what the iPad was for.
The iPad's not good enough for the high resolution of kink.com.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I'm not paying for a subscription to this website to watch it in shitty like iPad resolution. No, I'm watching it in glorious 4K.
Isn't the iPad like 4K?
I want to see every drop of sweat.
I'm mostly concerned about the comfort of using your office chair for that as opposed to a nice comfy bed.
Now, see, I will agree with you on that. The office chair is not ideal.
Exactly.
God damn, I hope this isn't one of the episodes my brother chooses to listen to.
I mean, you could cut all this, but I know you won't.
I'm not going to cut that out. Why would I cut that out? That's great comedy.
You could charge 112 euros for that.
Ooh,
so yeah. Nice.
What's going on here? Normally, I'm the one buying weird shit from Europe. What's going on?
So you know how sometimes medical devices aren't sold in the States but are sold other places?
Yeah, I'm from Mexico.
Yeah.
So I have a friend who swears by this this auto injector that you just snap your needle right into. You like snap the syringe and needle right into it. Mm-hmm. Press it up against your leg, and it'll auto-inject you for your intramuscular estrogen shot.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. I'm with you now. Mm-hmm. And it costs 112 euros.
It costs 112 euros. And 25 euros for shipping via FedEx.
Really?
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That actually sounds
reasonable.
That sounds
low is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds reasonable.
Normally, when I have something shipped from the continent, it costs like 40 bucks or so.
Well, I ordered it 2 days ago, and it's going to be here tomorrow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, they moved fast.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I'm going to start up taking IM estrogen again, which I'm actually pretty excited about because I don't think that this oral has been working at all. Like, I really don't think the oral
That's what she said.
Has been working for me. Fuck you. How dare you make a "that's what she said" joke on the day of Ricky Gervais's new transphobic special? How dare you? How dare you?
Someone's got to be funny. It's not him.
God, he's really trying to be funny with it though. Like you can.
Oh, he's trying.
When you
so
read
hard.
Through the transcript, you can see that he is really trying hard to find a unique funny joke in transphobia. And he can't find it, but he's so dedicated to the transphobia that that has to trump all, so he's not willing to sacrifice the bit. Which he should do as a comedian.
I'm gonna have to look up this transcript, aren't I?
No, save yourself.
Oh, don't do it. It's not good. It's bad.
I know it's not good.
But, like...
But...
Yeah, I definitely read an article that had bits and pieces of it transcribed earlier just because... I always feel like I want to know what's being said.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. I have the same problem. It's a bad thing. It's a bad affliction. I don't enjoy it, but I keep doing it. I really should put a lid on it, like they're doing with I-5.
Amazing.
Okay.
Emma, you googled lid I-5.
So this was actually my partner was doing one of their final projects for school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be like a proposal for how to improve a city somehow. It's an environmental studies class. And okay. I remembered the City Beautiful video where there's a project in Seattle called Lit I-5. Because like the part of the Frye Freeway that goes right through the middle of Seattle, the part that separates Cap Hill from downtown, is a giant trench. It is like, you know... basically a tunnel without a cap. So the entire idea of the project is, what if we just put a cap on it and make a giant parkland on top of a freeway that can connect these two otherwise very separate parts of the city? And so this is like a serious proposal that has a ton of groundswell in Seattle to just cap a big chunk of freeway, turn it into a tunnel, and then build a giant park on top of it. The way that like the convention center already does, like, cross over the freeway.
Right. We just take the chunk of freeway, and we turn it into a tunnel, and then we restrict it so only one car can go through at a time. And then we get rid of the handles for these cars, okay? No handles.
Okay.
Oh, see, I was going to say this sounds like the sort of thing where by converting an exposed freeway to a covered freeway, you end up taking 20 years, blowing through your entire budget, not actually doing any of the SOD projects you were required to do by federal law as environmental mitigation, and then still have traffic at the end. That's just what happened in Boston.
It all like the thing is already underground.
Yeah,
you would just
true.
Be
you
putting
have,
a roof
you,
on it. You're literally
you
just
3 out of 4 size, yeah.
Yes, you're just putting a roof on it. And the other thing is like, the traffic's not going to go away. This isn't trying to fix traffic. This is just trying to make a pretty park.
That's fair.
And hiding the traffic. This is like, you know, when your bed hasn't been made for about 2 weeks, but you're going to have someone over for like an hour before you go to a concert or something. So you just throw the sheets over the bed so like they don't see what mess you have.
No, I don't make my bed. And if they're going to judge me for that, they clearly don't know me.
Fair.
So... real quick, I think that we all need a palate cleanser. I think we just need to like we need to take a moment here in the middle of the podcast to like to breathe and to really relax. So I'm just gonna go ahead and read you a Matt Iglesias tweet.
Oh no! No!
For all its very real problems, one shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the contemporary United States of America is one of the best places to live in all of human history, and there's a reason tons of people of all kinds from around the world clamor to move here.
What?
Okay.
he is getting ratioed. It is beautiful to see.
I would hope so.
Matt Iglesias is one of the like dumbest fucking people I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he literally gets off on getting ratioed. So, you know, there is no explanation in my mind that is rational or sane in any way, aside from public humiliation kink.
I mean, there's no other explanation. Like, he doesn't have some dumb thing like Nate Silver, where like he's trying to pretend to be something. It's just an idiot.
Yeah, what's
really
Matt's,
bad tweets.
What's Matt's end game? Like, how does he make money?
He's trying to get off. He's not trying to make money.
Hmm.
I mean, he's got that Substack now. You know.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think he was one of the people who got, like, you know, an entire wheelbarrow full of money to start a Substack instead of whatever he... What was he doing before this? I don't even remember. He's just always been there. And I can't remember, like, was he...
Wasn't he writing for somebody?
Yeah. Where the fuck did he come from?
I don't care enough to look it up.
Apparently he's currently a columnist at Bloomberg.
Wait, really?
I mean, anyone can be a columnist at Bloomberg.
Oh right, he was one of the co-founders of Vox. That makes sense. He went to Harvard.
What?
Fuck me.
Of course he went to Harvard.
Fucking went to Harvard. God damn it.
That tweet went to Harvard.
That's like,
hey Emma, do gay men use U-Haul?
Why did you Google this?
Oh, I know exactly why Emma Googled this. Emma, do gay men use U-Haul?
I was generally hoping you would just, like, end on do gay men use a U-Haul, and then just, like, the music trails out, but eh.
It's
I mean, we're 40
for
minutes
we're
in.
We're only 41
that's...
minutes in.
Yeah,
well,
that's
why
not long
I was...
enough.
Nah.
I'll ask you a real one, then. Emma, you have a search term here. Where if it weren't for the second word in the term, it would make sense to me. But instead, you've fucked it up, and you've put a word in this term that I don't understand why it's there. Tell me about Renaissance Pleasure Fair.
So the Renaissance Pleasure Fair is the official name of the Ren Fair that happens in LA.
Is it really?
It is really. This is, and
so
that's
it's not
why
just
I,
like Ogloff or whatever that.
No.
Motherfucker.
I mean, with the amount of tits you see, it might as well be. But, like, that's just Ren Fair. No, dear it Christ. Is just, like, I don't know why. Like, this is, like, one of the oldest Ren Fairs in existence. So, like, they chose this name a long time ago. But, like, that's just the name of Ren Fair here in SoCal. And it is... I went, what was it, 2 weekends ago now?
Something like that. What is time?
A lot of fun.
The existence of a Renaissance Pleasure Fair implies the existence of a Renaissance Pleasure Fowl.
God.
Ban.
Pain.
You can't ban me. This is my own show.
I could just be watching the Red Sox right now. I don't have to put up with this shit.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Oh.
But yeah, you
god.
Went to the Ren Fair, right?
Yeah, I went to Ren Fair.
Yeah, how was it?
It was fun. It was very hot because it's SoCal, although the day before had been 10 degrees hotter. So,
oof.
Yeah. It was in the high 80s the day I went, and it was in the high 90s the day before. So,
doofa.
Yeah. But it's really fun. I have my complaints about it, but none of them are really that big of a deal. Like, the whole fair is basically laid out in one entire, like, snaking... I won't even call it a labyrinth, because there's only a single path. But there is no easy way to get from the end of Ren Fair to the beginning of Ren Fair. You have to walk through the entire thing to get back.
They put the Ren Fair on rails.
Yeah, it is like IKEA without the shortcuts.
It's so you spend more money.
Well, it's so you spend more money, but it's also...
You gotta walk past the turkey legs.
They're not very good. They were not well seasoned.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, they never are. Like, turkey legs, people get them because they're big and they're, like, you know...
They look like a Ren Fair.
Yeah, they look like Ren Fair food. But no one gets turkey legs because it's like the pinnacle of culinary mastery from the 12th century. They get them because they're big.
When they still have the skin on, that's quite nice. I do enjoy that part.
I'm always happier ordering a turkey leg than I am eating a turkey leg.
That's how I feel about everything at Sonic.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. Like, I love the idea of Sonic. But every time I go there, I'm like, you know what? This could have been a lot better than it is.
Speaking of Sonic, except for the drinks, really, that's all. Speaking of Sonic, you really need to watch the Rescue Rangers movie.
I'm so thrown off by the Rescue Rangers movie.
How is that related?
Yeah, it is.
It is. Did you see
Ugly
it, Emma?
Sonic is in it. I have not seen
Ugly
it.
Sonic. Ugly Sonic has a pretty large role in it.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
That explains a few tweets I saw.
Yeah.
Rescue Rangers is basically Roger Rabbit for Zoomers.
Oh, is that what's going on there?
Kinda.
It's what happens when you try to make Roger Rabbit in 2022, which obviously is a failing idea.
Yeah, we've already gotten rid of all the streetcars, so you can't make that movie again.
And then you take the already failing idea and you go, what can we do to make this at least palatable? And what you do is you turn it into a Lonely Island production.
I see.
Quite literally, it's like two of the people from the Lonely Island are in it, right?
It's directed by Akiva Schaffer.
Okay, all right.
Like, Akiva directed it. Andy Samberg stars in it. What's his name? The fucking SNL guy who plays Dr. Spaceman.
Fuck, what's his
Chris
name?
Chris Parnell.
Exactly who you mean.
Chris Parnell.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Oh, he's in it?
Yeah, Chris Parnell is in it. Only briefly, but he's in it. And one of the first things that you hear in this children's movie is Tenacious D.
See, I don't know if it is a children's movie because of, like, the entire plot. Like, it uses animated characters, but that's kind of like saying that Futurama is a kid's show because it's animated. Like, I am not convinced that Rescue Rangers is a kid's movie. I am convinced that Rescue Rangers, their aim was to try to both capture millennials who saw Rescue Rangers as a kid and also capture Zoomers who have no idea what Rescue Rangers are but are being dragged along by, like, older siblings or partners or something. Roger Rabbit also was not necessarily a kid's movie. I mean, look at Jessica.
Yeah.
I would like to pose a semi-related question. Who dies first, Henry Kissinger or Lorne Michaels?
Oh, God.
No, the queen's already dead.
So she's in a Stradinger, alive state.
Liz,
no one knows if the queen is alive or dead until you see her.
I'm going to read down the cast list for this movie.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
John Mulaney.
Oh,
Andy Samberg.
Okay.
Will Arnett.
Oh.
Eric Bana. Okay. Yep. Keegan-Michael Key. Seth Rogen. J.K. Simmons. Kiki Lane. And Tim Robinson.
Christ above.
Tim Robinson voicing Ugly Sonic.
Sure. Okay.
Well,
I don't even know what Rescue Rangers is. You're talking about this like the thing, and I'm guessing it's a thing.
Okay, you know Chip and Dale, the Disney squirrels? It's their new movie. Yeah.
Yeah, so the Rescue Rangers was what is it, like early or mid 90s animated show that was on Disney Channel, I think.
Okay. Yep.
Or was it a movie? No, it was a show, right?
It was a TV series.
It was a TV series. But it was, you know, it was one of those things, like, Disney loved to do this in the 90s to the 2000s, where they would take a beloved IP and reboot it as a TV series. And usually they lasted a season or two because they weren't good. Rescue Rangers...
Because they hadn't invented Disney Plus yet.
Well, yeah, but, like, Rescue Rangers is one of the few shows that lasted multiple seasons and that people actually liked. The other one being DuckTales.
Yep.
I know DuckTales. DuckTales I know.
So Rescue Rangers
and Darkwing
is like...
Duck. Let's not forget Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
Like, Rescue Rangers is like a step below DuckTales in terms of notoriety. but okay. It is two steps above most of the rest of the Disney series that, like, at least from my understanding, I've seen very little, but, like, of the rest of the Disney, like, we're turning this show into a cartoon thing. It was, like, at least good.
Yeah.
Actually, no, probably Goof Troop was better. I don't know.
See, I missed all of this because I mostly watched PBS as a kid, not out of my parents trying to force me into any particular ideology or anything. They didn't give a shit. I just didn't like commercial breaks, and Disney Channel had a lot of commercial breaks, and PBS had no commercial breaks.
Many. I mean,
and that's why I'm like this.
Well, I'm late to most of this. I just read a lot.
Well, see, the important thing is that PBS is a lot like a podcast, and that's brought and made possible by viewers like you. And so for only $2 a month, you can go to patreon.com/idlecuriosity and make this show work thanks to viewers like you.
Didn't I already do the plug?
You did. I couldn't pass up.
It was a good one. It was a good one.
Noel really wants to be able to afford a portable espresso machine.
Hey, I'm not steamrolling this this segue. I'm letting you have this segue.
No, you can steamroll it. I'm just
yeah. We need to steam anyway for these.
I'm just here to create chaos.
I was just gonna say that, like, the big difference between like PBS and this show. The big difference is that this show is not also sponsored by 3M.
However, I could do with some new command strips. So if you want to sponsor us, 3M, you know, I'll talk about command strips all fucking day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Scotch tape. I don't care.
Anyway. Portable espresso machine. Yeah, Liz, what the fuck?
Did you not watch the James Hoffman video?
I've got a bus!
I didn't.
Oh, so, noted,
I missed this one.
Yeah, so it was just, was it yesterday? When was it? It was
2 days ago.
The past week. It was 2 days ago. That was
something
Sunday.
Like that.
Really? I thought it was yesterday.
I don't remember.
Sometime in the week before we recorded this episode, noted coffin YouTuber and honorary cottagecore lesbian James Hoffman did a video about portable espresso machines where he made espresso in various bits of London that aren't his studio.
That's fun.
Yeah, like it was that. Fun. It was a good. Yeah. It was a nice little video. It was really charming. And it also had me thinking, because I've gotten so heavily into espresso lately, to the point where I think it's now my favorite way of consuming coffee.
Wow. It's been my favorite way for a while. Or are you talking about
hipster.
Like straight espresso
okay, you
shots?
Fucking hipster.
No, okay. Wait, are you talking straight espresso shots or are you talking now. About like a latte
I
or something?
I do. I mean, listen, I make a lot of lattes, but I do, you know, my evening espresso evening espresso drink has lately just been a double shot of espresso.
Yeah, no, I
maybe
can't do that. I need
a little
at least
bit of,
milk.
A little bit of brown sugar in sometimes, which is really
nice.
Oh,
I like that. Ooh. I like that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. A little bit of a Cuban deal going there, which is nice. It's a trick I learned when I lived in Tampa.
Now, is brown sugar the like desire? Like, is that the ideal, or would something like a Moscato sugar be better?
I don't bloody know. That's just what I have lying around.
Okay. Well.
I'm sure you could get as fancy or unfancy with it as you prefer.
Now, what if you put some whipped cream on top?
Is there a name for that? I feel like that is a thing that people have.
It's a callback.
Down the drill, Noel.